This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all I do. Glory to God, glory to God. Well, get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, and for our consideration, we want to look at verse 29. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this word today as you have provided for us this truth. So give us insight and understanding. As you reveal this truth to us, meet us right where we are, lift us to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29 reads as follows. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. One of the things, as we look at this word, Moses gives reference to the reason for God's anger, for how those things that he had covenanted with Israel with were not kept, and how, if you begin in verse 1 of the 29th chapter, he deals with his covenant with Israel, and then they actually go into the covenant agreement in verses 10 through 13. And then he explains in verses 14 through 24 what happens if the covenant is disobeyed. And under that curse, he gives the reasons for God's anger. Beginning at verse 25, it says, then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Now, who forsook the covenant? Israel, they. It's always clear, and it is a part of not only human record but biblical history, that whenever the covenant with God and man was ever breached or broken, it was always on the side of man, never on the side of God. The record still reads that if there is a problem, the problem is on man's side. Verse 26 says, for they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. Now, it's interesting because if you look at the 28th chapter and you look at verses 1 through 14, he lists the blessings that he will bring upon Israel, a land of plenty, and how he shall bless them if they obey him. Now, that's verses 1 through 14. When you get a chance at home, I want you to read that for your own private study time. But I want you to see the curses for disobeying God that begins in verse 15 of the 28th chapter, and it concludes at the 68th verse. Now, you don't have to be a mathematician, a rocket scientist, or no person of great smarts to figure out that the cost is real weighty for disobeying God. And then as he talks in the 29th chapter of the covenant that he makes with Israel, at the conclusion of this word, we see something here. Verse 28 says, "And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day." And then verse 29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." Well, historically, this word is about Israel. This word is about God's chosen people, the covenant agreement that he makes with them, but how they break it with him. Now, while again, it is speaking of Israel historically, pragmatically, the same reality happens to us when we enter into covenant with God. We have a new covenant, a more precious covenant, a New Testament, something far better that was foreshadowed in the old, but now is a reality in the new that God expects us to uphold our part in. And so the reality is, pragmatically, there is a penalty for us breaking our covenant with the Lord and understanding that where we are, God has brought us, what we know God has taught us, what God has vested in us has been for his glory. And whenever God receives the glory, it is his word. It is the way that he operates. He presents to us the good, but sometime the good isn't good enough. Sometime, even though God looks beyond our faults and meets our needs, sometime when God brings us to a place where we don't deserve, elevates us and liberates us, it isn't enough for us to thank God and glorify God and rest in that. Sometime we still want it our way. Israel was one such people who did it that way. They accepted and adhered to gods they didn't even know. And you know, my brothers and sisters, it's a difficult thing to have a helping hand in the part of bringing someone up to a place and to a standard that elevates their life all around, and then they give glory and homage to someone who didn't even lift a finger to help them up. Isn't it amazing how the very people you help are the same people that turn around and kick you? Isn't it amazing how the people that you spend your life grooming and growing and balancing and blessing, when they get to that place, they find new friends and new love and new comforts and new places to spend their time and their money? Oh, y'all acting holier than thou on me. Well, let me put it another way. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've made sacrifices for somebody who, when they got to where they were trying to get to, they act like you didn't do a thing for them? Maybe you don't know them. Maybe you are them. Maybe that's why you can't say amen right now. But what I'm trying to tell you is Israel has acted that way with the Lord so many times. Yes, sir. And they wonder why they were always in one bondage and captivity after another, one bondage and captivity after another. And the mercy of God continued to dwell even though they missed it. And even though they messed up, God still brought them to a place. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, it behooves us, it amazes us, it bewilders us why God keeps on blessing us when we don't deserve it. I know I stand in the need of his mercy and his blessings, and I don't know why he keeps blessing me. I can't speak for you. Though I strive for perfection, I fall short of it, but in spite of that, he keeps on blessing. And I say, I'm so glad that God is not like men. Y'all know the code, don't you? Drop the N, I'm talking about me. I'm so glad he's not, because I know I would not handle men like God handles men. But look at the text, because there is something that I think will come forth as not only a revelation, but a word of wisdom for the saints. Because here in verse 29, the record is the secret things. Somebody say secret things. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Now let's stop there for a moment, if you will. Because when we look at the secret things, those are the things unrevealed. Those are the things that are mysterious to us. Those are the things most times that reside in the supernatural realm, in the spiritual realm. Those are the things that we don't have the ability or the comprehension to understand. And so those are things that God himself must, by his word and by his spirit, reveal to us when we are ready for them. Now notice again, the record says the secret things belong to the Lord our, somebody say our, God. Now that means this, that the secret things don't belong to another God. There is no other God who knows what our God knows. There is no other God who can compare with our God. That's why in the book of Romans chapter 8, the Lord says, if he be for you, who? Because he don't know no other God. And he knows everything and all things. And so the reality is that we must understand that we sell ourselves short when we invest in any other God other than our God for anything. Because our God is God. So it belongs to him. So that deals with ownership. Now, you're going to note that though those hidden things belong to him, he owns those things, he is sovereign, he also gives something to us to know, and that refers to the revelation or the revealed things. And so the word talks about secret things, and it talks about shared things. The secret things, the hidden things, belong to God, but the shared, revealed things belong unto us. Now understand this, it is his in ownership, but it is ours in operation. What he reveals to us, he expects us to operate in. Because he owns all things, all knowledge, he is all knowing, he has all power, all of these things belong to him. Whatever he chooses to reveal to us is so that we might operate in it. We don't own it. We just operate in it. And so that's why you got to understand God meets us where we are spiritually. There are some of us who can handle some things but can't handle other things. There are others of us who are more mature, who God reveals certain things more to because we can handle those things. And one of the reasons why we need to understand this verse, because it is helpful in our Christian growth and our personal development, and it is also the responsibility of every believer to do what he or she knows, not that you do not know. Too many times we major in minor things and minor in major things. Too many times we lose more time trying to figure stuff out than doing the stuff we've been given to work out. Too often times we lose our mindset because we're wondering about things too marvelous, too wonderful, too glorious for us that God has not given an assignment for us to figure out. But the things he has revealed to us, those are the things he expects us to operate in. One of the things that you got to be careful about is not to get so hung up in the unknown that you do not do the known. You are accountable and responsible for what you do know, not that you do not know. So oftentimes we, in an effort to be heavy, to be deep, show how surface we are, because when we don't take care of what God has given to us as a responsibility, we lose the benefit and the blessing of the knowledge that we do have. Let me give you some suggestions why the word says the secret things belong unto the Lord. Number one, it very well could be that our finite, limited minds cannot fully understand the infinite aspects of God's nature and the universe. When you walk through the Word and you see how David talks about how wonderfully and fearfully he is made, and how when he considers the heavens and all of the handiwork of God, he recognizes that there is a limitation not only on his knowledge, but his ability to comprehend the incomprehensible things of God. In other words, he will never ever know him in totality, but the parts that he does know, he is responsible for praise and glory unto God. In other words, I thank God for the fact that he doesn't expect me to praise him and worship him on the level that you know him on, and he doesn't expect you to praise and worship him on the level that I know him on. The more I grow and the more I know, my accountability and responsibility aligns itself in that I do know, not that I don't know. Now, here's again the problem. When you try to be somebody you're not, when you try to function out of knowledge you do not have, you do more damage to yourself and to the glory of God than you even realize. I want you to know another reason. Two, some things are unnecessary for us to know until we are more mature. Now, some things, if you note, even the world has figured out in education that there are levels and stages upon which to introduce ideas, knowledge, information, etc. And they're what's called age-appropriate learning. You don't take a 12th grader and teach him first grade stuff. And you don't take a first grader and teach him 12th grade stuff. You teach them on the level that they're able to comprehend. You give them just enough to stretch and reach to expand their growing, but not to confound their growing. You give them just enough to be able to reach out for and just barely with the tip of the finger touch until they reach that point where they are then promoted, and then they're exposed to new knowledge, new information, etc., etc. But it's always on the brink of keeping them at the point of reaching just beyond the point of what they know, not so much that it totally brings them to a state of confusion. God keeps us in a place where we are steadily striving, pressing, at the point of almost there, but not quite there, seeking him. If God told us everything, then there wouldn't be a need for him to continue to talk to us. What's the sense in the conversation when you already know what he's going to say? Somebody say, you don't call me, I know what you're going to talk about. It's almost like if it doesn't challenge you, if it doesn't inspire you, if it doesn't engage you, then what's the point? That's one of the reasons why when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. If I gave you all of your year's worth of bread in one day, we might not ever talk about bread again. You just go to your storehouse and get you a new fresh loaf of bread. If it stays fresh, you know, throughout the year, you don't have nothing to worry about. But if you have to come to me for your needs daily, it brings us in a place of intimacy, a place of dependence, of which God himself wants his people to have not only fellowship with him, but to desire him even as they need him. That's another reason I need you to know that God keeps the secret things for himself. One, God is infinite and all-knowing, and we don't have the capacity to know everything he does. Now keep in mind, he's everywhere at all times. He's been here before the beginning. He will be here after the beginning has begun and ended. And so because he's everlasting to everlasting, now keep in mind that all our mind's ability to handle, look, we get confused if you give, you lined up 10, 20 people. So let me give you their first and last name. Now get all the way through the line. And I said, now go back and call all the names. Mary Jane, Joseph, Larry. I know that name. That's just 3-4 names. He knows everybody's name, not only in your church, not only in your city, not only in your state, not only in your country, but he knows everybody's name before you, everybody's name now around you, everybody who shall come. Y'all not hearing me here. I'm just trying to tell you, if he just used your ability to comprehend and retain names, you'd be blown sockets just trying to remember names. I mean, think about it. He knows every number of hair on your head. Yeah. For some of us, that's not a problem. But for others of us, I mean, think about what it would do to your mind if you had to keep the numbers. When I look at certain brothers and I say, oh, he has such and such and such numbers of hair. And then say, oh, no, he lost about 12 of them this morning combing it. So God knows all of that. He knows every little sparrow that flies, where it flies. He knows when it is knocked down out of a tree, when it dies. He's got all of this infinite information. I could keep on going, but I'm trying to help you understand. You can't hold the information that God could revealed to you, so he keeps you from having a blown out brain by letting you know what's only necessary.
All right. Hallelujah.
You know, you need to be careful about wanting to be in somebody else's shoes, because you don't know what they've got to walk through, and you don't know what they have to deal with, and you don't know what it cost them to get to where they are. And a whole lot of you want the stuff, but you don't want the circumstances that they've had to go through to get the stuff. I'm just trying to help somebody know that God's got too much knowledge for you to know everything he knows. So some things are secret. Remember, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Said to him, Rabbi, we know. Now, it was him by himself. But we know. I told you I'm glad. First of all, I've been away. Ho. Who is we? I just see you. Well, then that's where the conversation would have stopped right there. We wouldn't have got to the rest of that in the verse unless he revealed the rest of them that didn't want to come. But here in that text in the third chapter, John reveals something else. Because Jesus, as he continues to probe that Nicodemus knew and did not know, he revealed that sometimes we will come under the facade of others wanting to know when the truth of the matter is, we want to know and don't want to admit we don't know. We know that thou art a prophet come from God, and no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And he goes on with all of this. And Jesus tells him, said, Nicodemus, you know what? You must be born again. And he goes on and he talks with Nicodemus, and he said, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And he goes on and he talks all of these things. And Nicodemus scratches his head and is confused about it. How can I go back into my mother's womb when I am old? Can I be born a second time? He said, wait a minute. Aren't you a leader? Aren't you a master of the Israelite? Don't you know all of that? Wait. If you don't know this stuff, man, this ain't no deep stuff here. How could you begin to know the things of heaven? How could you know spiritual things if you don't understand these minor and small things? And so it was a revelation to him that he truly knew all things, to Nicodemus rather, that it was a revelation that Jesus knew all things and knew that he did not know, and he refused, listen at this, to give him information he could not handle. So sometimes God doesn't give us information because it's not necessary for us at this point in time. Paul said we see darkly through a glass. In other words, Paul was saying in the 13th chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that there are some things we're not going to know till we get to the other side. They're too wonderful for us. They're too deep for us. There are some things. Do you know if the Lord were to show you what you'd have to deal with this week, some of you would decide you don't want to go through it. So sometimes, you know, a whole lot of us at the beginning of 2006 started shouting, oh, this is my year, this is my year. Oh, glory, this is my year. If God would have shown you everything you had to go through before 2006 got here, you'll say, Lord, I'll take the exit on 2005. But because he's too infinite in his knowledge and he knows how you would handle it, he does not reveal it unto you until you can deal with it. He says this, he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so am I. But you can't comprehend all of this. And so what he does is he gives you enough. Not only that is palatable, but is digestible, that you can deal with. And you ought to thank God for it, because a whole lot of us want more than we can handle sometimes. And because God is our loving Heavenly Father, He knows how much we are able to handle. So even when we request it, He doesn't release it because He knows it would devastate us or destroy us. That's like a baby who does not know how to handle some dangerous object. And just because the baby's saying, give me, give me, give me, you've got a sharp brand new razor blade and a straight razor. And that baby wants to play it, and that baby sees you shaving and wants to shave also, has nothing to shave, don't know the principles of shaving. What responsible adult, just because that baby has asked for that sharpened razor to mimic you, would give that to a child? No, even if the child fell out and had tantrums, you would pick them up and put something on them. Say, trust me, you wish I would do this rather than give you this, because what you could do could end your life right here today with this razor. What I put on you would be painful for a few moments, but you'll get over that and go on. And that's the way the Lord is with us. And so sometimes there are things that He gives to us, but He doesn't give to us when we ask Him for them, because we cannot handle them at that time. There are some blessings God's got for you, got your name on it, but He knows right now in the mold you in, you'd blow it right now if He gave it all to you. How many times you say, Lord, I need this. If I don't have this, I'm not going to make it. Lord, if you don't give it to me now, this is going to happen. And Lord, don't give it to you, and you make it. And then when you come to yourself, and when you've learned to discipline yourself, and you learn how not to just go out there and throw it all away, then it shows up on time at another point in time when you need it even more then than you did when you asked Him for it. He knows too much. And so He reserves those secret things for Himself because He knows that you could not deal with them or handle it. So that brings us to another point. Then what do we do with the revealed knowledge, the shared knowledge? I'm glad you asked. First thing is, you discover what God has revealed to you. To discover simply means to discover it. It's covered up, and you have the ability, when God brings you to that point, to uncover. And you then discover something that you've not known before. Now listen to this. When I discover it, the reality is that it was already here before I got here. So it's not something that's brand new. It's not something that's, you know, perhaps I've invented or created. It was already here. I just uncovered the understanding of it now. That's why the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Some of you folk think you didn't come up with this new and improved. It's just old stuff recycled. It's new to you because you forgot the folk who did it before you are dead and gone, and all that might have been forgotten. And so you just uncover again what's already been uncovered before. But listen at this. You discover the revelation. When you discover this revelation, because look at the word again. I want you to see that. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are what? Revealed, which means I discover them, that which means God gives me understanding about. He says, those things belong to who? They belong to us. Now you become responsible and accountable. James put it this way. James said, when you know better. He says, when you know better. When you discover this, when you understand this, when the revelation of this has come into the fruition of your understanding, then you are responsible for it. To whom much is given, much is required. And so on new levels and higher levels, there are so many more things that you become accountable for and responsible for. And so God deals with you accordingly. That's one of the problems, again, with those who want the stuff but don't want all that goes with the stuff. Along with the stuff comes the responsibility and the accountability of it. Everybody won't be leader. Everybody won't be the chief. Nobody don't want to be the Indian. But then when the chief can't handle it, then they want to go back to being an Indian. You the chief. Oh, I'm the chief now. That you done messed it all up. I'm the chief now. Yeah, you the chief. I'll follow now. Because then when the weight and the load of the reality of the position